just Mary and Rav Shvita. Although my topic is down as Bedikas Chometz, I really wanted to deal with a more wide aspect of Pesach, including aspects of the Haggadah. Because when it comes to Bitzel Chometz, we have to devote our mental capabilities to doing an annulment of Chometz. We have to show that we're using our brains. And the Sefer Chinuch writes that the mitzvah of Bitzel Chometz is, to use his exact words, Kadesh Nivka, Nisim B'Mitzrayim. The reason why we're doing all this, because it's against our nature to throw away bread, you know. We learned a few weeks ago about not throwing away even breadcrumbs, or not walking on them, and not wasting food. What is it then that the Torah is making us do? It's trying to make us do something unnatural in order to trigger our minds to remember something. It's not enough to make a tick on the calendar to commemorate, like the non-Jews have commemoration days. We have to actually live through something in order to remember our past and to strengthen our Emunah for the future. And what we're also going to do is talk about the limitations of the human mind, or where Hashem is needed to help us or others to give strength in a mental capability, and we'll come to that later. But Bedikas Chometz, I think everybody here knows the din. One starts at nightfall, one doesn't eat within half an hour, one doesn't talk about anything during Bedika unless it's to do with the actual search. And the bracha that we make, Al Bedikas Chometz, is really Al Bior Chometz. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Bior. Now the Torah says, Tashbisu. Tashbisu Somi Botechem, which isn't quite the same word as Tava'aru. Tashbisu comes from the word Shin Beis Sov, which is like Shabbos, Shavas, to rest. There's something more passive about it. So what does this mean? The Minchas Chinuch says something very interesting. He says that really, do you have to go and buy Chometz in order to get rid of it? Of course not. If you've got no Chometz in your house, you can just sit and do nothing. And you've done the mitzvah. You've done the mitzvah in our Torah just by shevat taseh, by not doing a single thing. He says there are two mitzvahs like that. One is tashbisu se'om ribateichem, and the other one, he says, is zoches yom ha-shabbos l'kadosho. If you sit doing nothing the whole day on Shabbos, you've done the mitzvah of zoches yom ha-shabbos l'kadosho. Reb Chaim Shmulevitch argued with that. He said, no, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of zoches yom ha-shabbos l'kadosho, you have to have the Zemiras and the three meals and dress nicely and make Kiddush. That's all part of the mitzvah of Zocha. But he agrees that when it comes to Tashbisu Se'om Ribateichem, to get rid of Chometz, I don't have to go to Krajinski's, to buy Chometz in order to get rid of it. I simply can do nothing. Ah, then don't I have to do Bedika? It says, Kol Mokom She'ein Machnisim Bo Chometz, Ein Tzorich Bedika. You don't have to do Bedika if you never brought Chometz into your house the whole year round. Alright, that's why some people have the minhag to put out some pieces of bread, because the house is so spick and span clean from the spring cleaning that it might not be necessary to do a bedika la halacha, so people have the minhag to put out some bread, but it's not a din. So Chazal tell us, and Rashi explains the Mishnah at the beginning of Pesachim, that the reason why we do bedikas chometz is in order that you don't come to be over banya roi banya motze, that you might over Pesach see a delicious cream bun and you forget yourself and you'll eat it because it's allowed the whole year round, so you're more likely to forget, whereas with something which is trafe the whole year round, you won't be likely to forget. But apart from that, the Torah says you do a bittul, and in our Torah, that's all you need to do. There is a run at the beginning of Pesachim which even goes as far as saying that it's the Torah which takes away from you your chometz, because when the Zaman starts, it becomes hefka, it's ownerless, it's not really yours anymore. The Torah disowns you from it. It has no value. So you might then ask them, why do I have to do a bittul? Because the Ran says what the Torah does is it gives it back to you as if it's yours, even though it's not really yours anymore, as if it's yours, in order that you make some conscious effort to do a bittul chometz. We're familiar with the principle, mitzvah tzrichas kavano, or ain't tzrichas kavano. Do you need kavano when you do a mitzvah? So there's a machlokes about it. But if you listen to a shofar being blown and you didn't have kavana, then the Dieved Yoyotza. You've heard the shofar being blown. There is also, if you are forced to eat chametz and you, if you're forced to eat matzah and you haven't got in mind to do the mitzvah, then you may be doing the mitzvah of matzah, even though you didn't have the kavanah. The Dieved mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavanah. There are some exceptions. The dikas chametz, you can't say mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavanah. When you search for chametz, you have to have kavanah to do what you're doing. And when you do a bittul, you have to have kavanah, otherwise it's not a bedika and it's not a bittul. It doesn't exist at all. So there, the kavanah is essential. The human mind has to be at work. However lazy we are, and even if we've had no chametz the whole year round, we still need to put our mind to it. And even according to the Minchas Chinuch, we still have to say our kol chamirah and say all the chametz that I own is ownerless. So that is the das. We need to put our mind to it. The human mind, although its intelligence can become mechanistic, it becomes a slave to habit. So the Torah makes us do something to live through the experience to strengthen our emunah. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to come to a different aspect of the human mind, and that is going back to the story of Mitzrayim, the story of the Haggadah. And we've got some chumash, and if they're not enough we can share one between two, and we're just going to pick out a few references to explain the points that I want to bring. We're going to look at the mentality of Paro and the Egyptians, how he thinks. And the first reference maybe will be in Parshas Shemos, Perek Zayin, Posuk Gimel, Shemos, Perek Zayin, 7, verse 3. And it's on the top right hand corner of page 134. Hashem is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu before the real drama started. And he says in Pasuk Gimel, Va'ani akshe es lev paro. I will harden Paro's heart, etc. What does it mean, I will harden Paro's heart? Does it mean I'll make him stubborn? Does it mean I'll make him ruthless? The Mefarshim explain it's to almost take away his free will. How can Hashem take away free will? The whole Torah, the whole world is based on in creation fundamentally that we all have free will, a choice between doing good and bad. But then this phrase doesn't occur for a little while. There are five plagues we have. Dom, Svadea, Kinnan, Horov and Deve, where you don't get this expression, where Hashem hardens Paro's heart. Only when we come to the plague of Shechin, come to Perek Tes, Posuk Yud Beis. And there, you get towards the bottom of page 138. So this is the Makkah of Shechin. So we're doing the second half of the Makkah. So we've been through five, and now it's number six. And it says, Vayechazek Hashem eslev paro. Hashem hardened Pharaoh's heart. Lo shama lehem. So he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't let us go. And then if we move forward into Barod, to Pasuk Lamed Hay, the very last Pasuk of the Sedra of Vo'era, page 140, By Chazek, Lev, Paro, Velo Shilach, Espanay Yisrael, Kasher, Dibe Hashem, Miyabusha, as Hashem had spoken through Moshe. So we've got a pattern now forming where this expression did not exist in the first five plagues, but is continuously happening in the second five plagues. So if we move over to the Sedra of Bo, in Peret Yud, Posuk Kaf, top of page 143, on Arbeh, By Chazek Hashem Eslei Paro Velo Shilach Espanay Yisrael. Choshech again in Pasuk Kaf Zayin, just halfway down that page. By Chazek Hashem Eslei Paro. And then before Makas Bechoros takes place, because that was a real warning, we know that he gave in after Makas Bechoros and sent us packing. But in Pasuk, in chapter Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud, again, you've got the Moshe of Aaron Osiris Kolamosim Olev Paro Vayechazek Hashem Eslev Paro. And that's after he's warned, Umeis kol b'chor b'etz Mitzrayim, all the firstborn will die. So we've got here a pattern. Right the way through. And then we come to B'Shalach. We've got it again. In Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Dalad. Near the beginning of B'Shalach, towards the bottom of page 151, the Chizakti Eslev Paro, V'Rodaf Achareihem. What's the implication of that? That it's not a logical thing to do. But he's going to chase after us. And not only Paro, Uvechol Chelo, but his whole army. And as a result of that, the Yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. And again in Pasuk Ches, you've got it, Vayechazek Hashem Eslev Paro Melech Mitzrayim. And he ran after us. I'd like you now to look at the Rambam, the handout you've got in front of you, which is from Hilchos Tshuva.
Eli is also later on as well.
Yes, there are some other references. Yeah, but it's a recurring theme, and when you're telling the story on Seder night, it's a very relevant theme. We're going to look at the Rambam because the question is, how can God take away free will? Everybody's got a choice between good and bad. So how is this possible? So we're not going to deal with a whole lot. Let me look at Perek Shishi, and we'll look at Halacha Gimel. The Efshashi Chatei Adam Chet Godal. It's possible that a person might do such a big sin, Al Chatoim Rabim, or many sins, Ad Shitin Adin Ifnei Dino Emes, Shehei Hapiron Mizeh, Hachotei Al Chatoim Elu. Namely, that a person does so many sins, after a while, it becomes so habitual that she'asa b'tzonu midato, she'moni mimenu hatashuva. He does it so willingly, with das, that Hashem takes away from him the power to do teshuva. Ve'ein manichin o'reshus l'shuv mirishav. And Hashem no longer gives an opportunity to the person to turn from his evil ways. That he will die, and he'll lose out by this terrible sin he's done. As an example with Yeshaya, Hashmein Leiv Ha'omazeh. This is Yeshaya Perek Vov Pasuk Yud. The hearts of this people, they have fattened their ears, and their ears are closed, their eyes are shut. They don't want to know, lest they see their eyes, they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts that they have to repent, but they don't repent. The Hashem gives us chance, and they don't use that chance. V'cheinu Omer, and it says also, this is quoting from Divrei Yomim, Perek Lamed Vov, Tesvayim, V'yiyu malivim b'malachei o'elot, him uvozim devar v'mis'asim b'neviyov, ad alos chamas Hashem v'amo ad la'in marpei. Which means they also insulted the messengers of God, they scorned his words, taunted his prophets, until the wrath of Hashem rose up against his people, beyond all remedy. This is referring to the people at the time of the wicked king Tzidkiyah. So Hashem says, look, I give you lots of chances, but it reaches a stage where I draw a line and say, right, that's it. From now on, you will be doing that sin against your will. And then he carries on. Kolomar, as it means, chotu bitzonom. They did it willingly, v'hubulif shoah, they did so much sinning, ad shen ischaibulim name ad tshuva shiyamarape. The tshuva, which is the cure, is prevented from them, l'fichoch, therefore, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Why? First he did the sin on his own accord. And he did evil going about. So those who are living in his country, Shanem, as it says, let's do wisely. So Hashem took away that power of teshuvah. Hashem hardened his heart. To notify others that when Hashem stops teshuvah, he can no longer do come back. And he carries on with other examples like Sichem and the Kananim and so on. So you might say it's not fair, Paro's treated this way, but Hashem takes away that ability to do teshuvah. Notwithstanding that, we do know from Chazal that however far away one is from one's Yiddishkeit, there is always the eye of a needle, which Hashem opens up for somebody who wants to come back. Pischuni kechudo shel machat v'ani eftach lachem. I will open up for you archways, midrash she'ashirim, if you do show an attempt. And the Gemara Yerushalmi at the end of Bracha says that it's like standing in front of a mirror, because Hashem says, you leave me for one day, I leave you for 2 days. You stand back from the mirror, the reflection stands back from you. If you go forward in the reflection of the mirror, the reflection comes forward to you. So that's the way Hashem talks to us. You go away from me, I'll go away from you. Now this idea that Hashem took away the Bechira of Paro and his army is something quite remarkable, because when you think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu warned Paro about Makas Bechoros. He said it's coming, and it was publicized. They all knew about it. And the Medrash says that the firstborns got together and they made a demonstration. They first went to their fathers and they said, look, we know that everything Moshe has said so far has come true. Every warning he's given was correct. So it's very likely that this warning is going to be true as well. We're all going to be killed, for goodness sake. Get rid of these Jews. Let them go. Their fathers didn't listen, and they went to Paro. And they shouted at Paro, for goodness sake, let the Jews go. We're all going to die. And Paro would not listen. He chucked them out. He made life hard for these firstborns. And the firstborns got so angry, says the Medrash, they got out their swords and they started killing their own fathers. And Paro was saying, oh, there aren't that many firstborns in Egypt, only about 300. Well, what Paro didn't realize was that because there was so much immorality in Egypt, there were sometimes 5 firstborns in one family. Because a man might have had 5 different women with whom he had a relationship, and all of them were having firstborns from him. And similarly, there were women who had 5 men they had relationships with, so they might have had 5 sons, but they were all called firstborns. And there was such a revolt that 60,000 people died in this revolt. It was a civil war. And then comes along Makas Bechoros. Makas Bechoros, Hashem passes over. And there were Bechorim who knew that this was coming, so they actually thought, let's plant our firstborn kids in Jewish houses. Let them share the same bedrooms. And the Jews didn't complain. And that way they might be saved. And within the same house, or even in the same bed, the firstborn Egyptian died, and the firstborn Jew lived. Amazing. So Hashem took away free will, and we got here this story which is all part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But this taking away the free will, let's have a look at the way the Ramban perceives it. Look at the second page of your handout. At the top of the page, or near the top of the page, you've got Yud Dalet Dalet, Parsha Peshalach, V'chizakti Eslev Paro V'rodaf Achareihem. Says the Rambam, Bavo Shepachat Paro Mehem V'makas Bechoros U'vikish Mehem Merachtem Gavosi. Paro was indeed worried. Okay. He wanted to get a blessing himself. Lo B'libelu Dov Achareihem. At first he didn't conceive the idea of running after the Jews. Even if he would run after us. And Hashem Moshe Ben Kitzono, he knew that Moshe would do with him whatever he wanted. He has to say this, to pursue after them. And later it says, another pasuk to refer to the hardening of the heart. Because when it was seen that the sea was split for the Bnei Yisrael, v'hem holchim by Yavosh, and they then go into dry land, v'socho, eich yimnom nigom l'vo acharem no alohem. How could it possibly enter their minds to go after them, to do evil to them? Because it's not logical. It's madness. You must surely know that after all these 9 out of 10 plagues, the Egyptians are going to lose out. So how could such a thing take place? It's not logical. It's not seichel. We're talking about the human mind. This pasuk we quoted, which the Rambam brought before from Yeshayah, Rav Twersky, who's a real expert in psychology, says, this is an example of going into denial. People who have addictions, they just don't see the logic of it. They're going into denial. People who do things which harm their health, certain habits such as alcoholism and so on, they know it harms their health, but they still go ahead and do it. That is denial. And what he's saying then is that this is a form of denial. But it's not one person, it's a whole army, right? Eskol chelam. Now look at the next words of the Ramban. Ve'ein b'chol ha'mosim k'pele ha'zeh. And of all the signs and wonders which Hashem did, none of them are as great as this one. So we talk about all the miracles of the 10 plagues and about the splitting of the sea and about 40 years of the man falling in the wilderness, and we spend a long Seder night discussing all these fantastic miracles. But what is the greatest miracle of them all? That Hashem has the power over the human mind. And not just over one person, but over a whole army, to take away their bechira, to do something which is most illogical. This was a madness for them. But it was he who Hashem turned round their seichel into foolishness, and he hardened their heart to go into the sea. Now we know that if this would go before the United Nations, they would all complain about, Jack Straw, the British Foreign Secretary, would say that this revenge is disproportionate use of force, and they would pass a resolution against the Israelites for doing this to the Egyptians, and that they should go back to peace talks with a two-state solution. We've heard it all. But this is Hashem at work to demonstrate two things. Number one, he punishes the evil, and number two, he demonstrates his might. There is no other miracle as great as this. You can ask the question, why does the Ramban have to say this? There is no great miracle like this. After all, they're all miracles, they're all against nature, making water into blood and frogs and all the other things, playing around with everything in nature. But all these miracles, they are the flora and the fauna of the world. The atheists of the world, what do they believe in? The atheists of the world believe in the human mind as the greatest thing of all. They believe, and there are many communists like this, they believe that the greatest thing in the universe is their own brain, their own human mind, and that is above all else. So what is Hashem showing when he shows his greatness to Klal Yisrael, and we get that opportunity to receive Emunah? He's showing to us, not only do I command the flora and fauna, things which grow from the ground and the bird life and the locusts and create darkness, I can create the human mind. I can control the human mind and of a whole army. No hypnotist can do such a thing. Only Hashem Yisbarach can. That is the greatest miracle of all. What I found very interesting is that when we talk about the human mind and Hashem controlling it, I found another example of Hashem having an effect on the human mind, and that's on the Israelites, on the Jews. If we turn over to the next page, we've got here, near the top right, the Ibn Ezra. This is a perush on the Pasuk, Yud Beis, V'chol Eloheim Mitzrayim Eseh Shefatim Ani Hashem. What does the Ibn Ezra write? I thought this was amazing. Halfway along the first line, V'zeh Yeh Lochem La'os, and this will be for you as a sign. What's that? This is no longer talking about the Chizuk Halev of the Egyptians. It's talking about Chizuk Halev of the Jews. Sheyachazek levavachem, that Hashem will do something to the hearts of the Jews. What does this mean? Velo yeirach, that they will not melt. V'shemachem tzakas ha'mitzriyim v'mavis b'chareyem. How do the Jews feel when all this is going on? You wake up to the cries of Egyptians, shrieking in the middle of the night, discovering that their firstborn have died. It's traumatic. It's awful. First of all, it's just the atmosphere of it. It's awful. However much we hate the Egyptians, to hear all these shrieks and cries and moans, we might be worried it's going to happen to us next, but we know that Hashem is on our side, okay. But there is also this fear that they're going to come and lynch us from this. I mean, what's the feeling I would have if I would be a Jew in Mitzrayim? I would fear that, crumbs, they're going to come now and go for me. They're going to lynch me. So I get scared. So Hashem is aware of this. Hashem knows that we have fears, natural fears, when we hear these shrieks and cries. So what does Hashem do? He says, don't worry, I'm going to strengthen yourselves. I'm going to strengthen your hearts, your attitude, your mind, that you'll be able to withstand this traumatic experience. That's the Ibn Ezra. Hashem will strengthen your hearts, that you will not melt away when you hear the cries of the Mitzrayim at the death of their Bechorim. That Because you've got out of your way and you've smeared the blood on the doorpost to show your emunah, there will be no harm coming to you. And I will strengthen you and I will give you a chizuk. I found this amazing. Why? Because just like Hashem is controlling the minds of the Egyptians, where he's taking away their free will as a punishment, then with us he's giving us assistance, he's giving us help to withstand the trauma of the experience of what's happening at that time. He's giving us a chizuk. So we started off talking about the human mind having the ability of bi'ul chametz and doing whatever we have to do with our own attitude and our own intelligence, and not just to commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to put our minds to it. But we've got limitations to our minds. And here we've got two extreme examples. One where Hashem takes away your ability to put up with something, where he punishes you by taking away your human efforts. And in the same way that if you do a zechus, if you do something good, he strengthens your mental capabilities. And the reason why this is so amazing is because there's a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, and also in Sukkah Nun Beis, which says, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, Yitzra shel adam miskaber olav v'chalyan. A person's yetzara always has a control over him. Over makesh hamisa, and always tries to kill him. But v'imole ha-kodesh baruch hu ozro, ein yachalo. Were it not for the fact that Hashem helps us, Hashem strengthens us, then the yetzara then can't kill us. But if Hashem wouldn't help us overcome the yetzara, we wouldn't be able to do it on our own. Even though we've got that bechira, that free will, the Yetzirah is so overpowering that we can't manage to withstand it without Hashem's help. So Hashem is giving us that chizuk halev, day by day, in order that we can withstand it. Let us now digest what is going on here. Not only did this happen 3,000 years ago, where Hashem was controlling the human minds of the evil Egyptians to punish them, and he was giving chizuk to the human minds of the Jews to strengthen them in his chesed and in his rachamim, not only then but also nowadays, every single day we are being given the strength from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to withstand the Yetzara by him giving us a form of chizuk halev. Hashem is strengthening us once we walk towards the reflection in the mirror. He comes towards us. So we've seen a bit of psychology of the human mind. We have to train ourselves not to be mechanistic. That's not the way. The way is not to be like a machine. But also we have to make sure we don't go into denial and think that we're logical when we're not. And also we have to pray to Hashem that if we do have weaknesses, if we do have fears, then he should help us. He will help us be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara, and he'll be able to give us that strength to do all the mitzvahs. So there in a nutshell, I didn't just want to deal with Bedikas Chometz, I thought these are ideas which can come out of the Seder night. Because the actual mitzvah of Seder night is Sippur, it's telling the story. And what greater aspect of telling the story is to talk about the miracles, and not just the miracles, but the greatest miracles of all, as the Rambam says, the Chizuk Halev, the most amazing thing that happens in the whole of Golas Mitzrayim and our coming out from it. And also the Chizuk Halev, which Hashem does in his Chesed to the Jews. And those who learn Kabbalah, I'm not a Kabbalist, know that there are certain issues which the world is based on, called the Esses Sfiros, and two of the main ones are Chesed and Gevurah. Hashem shows his Gevurah, his might, in the way he deals with Mitzrayim. But to us, he shows not just his Gevurah, but his Chesed, in the way he's kind to us and deals with us, enabling us to celebrate Pesach every year. Hope you have a very freilichen and kosher Pesach. Thank you.